Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is a Victory Monday for Cheesehead TV Nation here. Hope you're all having a great day, marinating in a Packers home opening victory that saw Josh Jacobs absolutely dominate the Indianapolis Colts on the ground. Malik Willis, an excellent steward of the offense. Jeff Hafley's crew doing everything that needed to be done. Lummox, a young, promising QB. Probably didn't keep the running game in check as much as we would like, but overall, a sterling victory for Matt LaFleur's crew. And look, Matt LaFleur, that is a hell of a win. Getting a backup quarterback who's only been in the building for a couple weeks up to speed to the point where he can essentially run your offense. That, yes, was very ground-centric, but it's not like they needed to do much outside of what they did. I know a lot of people have pointed this out, but it is very, very true as far as Josh Jacobs fumbles going into the end zone and your kicker misses a 45-yarder. Those two things happen, and the whole complexion of this game in the second half is completely different, and the defense can probably start pinning their ears back and getting after it. But, you know, it was a solid victory through a game plan that made all the sense in the world and showed a coach capable of not only adjusting, but playing to his team's strengths against an opponent that, you know, pretty much understood the assignment as far as this is what they're going to try to do, but they couldn't stop it, especially not until it was too late. So I just think that's a hell of a win for Matt LaFleur. We, as Packers fans, have seen backup quarterbacks get starts on a number of occasions throughout the years, and it has not gone well. It has not looked anything near what we saw yesterday. I just think it's a feather in the cap for LaFleur and his staff, and of course the players who executed the game plan and made it happen. Hello to everybody in the comments section. Hope you're all doing well. It's good to see everybody mixing it up already. We got Jocelyn starting us off with a super chat. Thanks, Jocelyn. Who asked Myers about a number one receiver? Hell, if you missed it, Josh Myers had to puke in the middle of a game, like literally right before he snapped the ball. Good stuff. You love to see the guys leaving it all out there or something. I don't know. High powered. Thanks for the super chat. Malik Willis revenge game next week. Let's go. Yeah, it will be pretty sweet if Willis is able to, you know, lead them to a victory over his old team that clearly gave up on him after drafting him in the third round. I'm about this narrative. I'm all in. Let's go. She said, Joey, how are you? Packers first team since 2011 to rush for 160 plus in the first quarter. Yeah, but 2011 doesn't feel that long ago. But I understand it's pretty damn impressive, right? What's crazy to me is that the Packers were able to be so effective in the first half on the ground against a team that knows they're starting to back up and knows that they have to get the ground game going. They got to get Josh Jacobs going, and they were unable to really staunch the bleeding until it was too late. Just absolutely impressive stuff from the Packers, especially, you know, up front, working the line of scrimmage against a front that's not, you know, anything to, you know, sneeze at. That's a pretty damn talented team, but the Packers just had their way with them early in this game. AJ, what's up? Did the QB subterfuge during the week do anything? You'd have to ask the Colts as far as how much they, if at all, game plan for the possibility of Jordan Love being available. I doubt it did much, but, you know, the NFL is a paranoid world, to say the least. And I think coaches do feel like every inch, every nanosecond of, you know, time that is unaccounted for or accounted for maybe in a misdirection kind of way, that's a win in their book. So Matt, I suspect, will continue to keep the idea afloat that, oh, Jordan could play this week. I don't think that there's any chance Jordan plays this week, but we'll see. We'll see how it plays out, and we'll see how much the Titans end up actually spending time on a potential Jordan Love start. I doubt it'll be much, but again, you never really know how much time is being spent behind closed doors. Nathaniel, thanks for the super chat. Love Aaron Jones, but I can already tell Jacobs is going to be more durable. I mean, possibly. We're only 2 weeks into this thing, right? Now, I don't think there's any doubt. And I love Aaron Jones. I've talked often how much I adored him as a Packer, etc. But there's no way they ask him to do what Josh Jacobs did yesterday. And they're very different backs, so that's not surprising, right? But the idea that you have this weapon in the backfield that you are able to hand the ball off to as many times as they did and is able to not just make people miss, but run through people consistently throughout the entire game is something they never would have been able to do with Aaron Jones. And that's no knock on Jones. He's a different type of back. But, man, what's exciting to me is seeing how productive they were. And hopefully they'll continue to expand what they do with Malik Willis at quarterback. But when Jordan Love gets back, to know that that's on tape, and that's something as a defensive coordinator you do have to worry about, and that Matt LaFleur will undoubtedly have a little bit more confidence in. As far as I know, we can ground and pound if we need to. I know Josh Jacobs is up to the task. Well, then that becomes another kind of quiver, you know, an arrow in your quiver that you can use as an offensive play caller and designer and game planner and game day decision maker where, okay, it's going one way. This isn't working or this isn't giving us problems. They're really kind of sitting back, daring us to run the ball. Well, we can run the ball. We will smash you in the face with this if we need to. I love it. I'm about it. I just think it really adds to some of the problems they can cause for defenses because of having Josh Jacobs. Soder, what's up, man? We'll say something snarky about the Bears breaking Williams in just 2 weeks, but they made all of their kicks. Man, my boy was 3 of 4. Can we just lay off? I understand he missed the 45-yarder, and it's a problem, and it's the same fucking hash mark, and that's what I said on Watch Party. As soon as I saw it was on the left hash mark, I knew we were in trouble. But, yo, kid made 3 of 4. I ain't going to freak out about it. Now, look, could it potentially be a problem long-term, et cetera, later in this year? Maybe. We'll see if he doesn't improve, which is what they're going to allow him to do, most likely, here for the next couple weeks anyway. I don't think anyone's resting on their laurels. I don't think anyone inside the building is saying, yep, found our kicker. I don't think that's the vibe, right? But I do think give him a few more weeks. I think he'll come on and improve and figure that left hash mark out, especially from the 40-plus range. But, yeah, you know, 3 of 4, I ain't going to get all upset about it. Unculture, what's up? Props to Coach Mike for altering the game plan for the backup QB. Much better than the plan for Love and KC that one game. I think you mean Coach Matt. I understand Mike McCarthy, Mike Holmgren, probably Mike Sherman, maybe even still on the brain, but it's Coach Matt. Altering the game plan for the backup QB, yes, better than the plan for Love and KC. I will say, I mean, what's interesting is that, you know, LaFleur has been very kind of public about how much he regretted his approach with Jordan and not having answers for Jordan in that game as far as the heavy pressure that they were presented with. I don't think they suspected that Spagnuolo would go all engage eight that entire game like he did. But I suspect also that they were much more diligent about having all sorts of different ways for Malik Willis to operate on offense if, say, Gus Bradley had really broken with his kind of past and gone heavy pressure, and they had a much more aggressive game plan on defense from the Colts. If that had been presented earlier in the game, I think Matt and company probably would have been able to pivot a lot better than they did in that game in Kansas City. And like I said, Matt, I'm not saying anything Matt hasn't said himself. You know, he understands that they were not ready when Jordan went in on that game, and I think that was a pretty damn good lesson for Matt to learn pretty early in his tenure. Ed, what's up? I simply point out how great the weather is after the Packers win and Bears fans melt down. Go figure. Well, you know, it's a beautiful day here in New York. I don't know wherever you are in your neck of the woods, but it's always a gorgeous sunny day when the Packers win and the Bears lose. I'll tell you that. Absolutely beautiful. Joe, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Saw a video where Sean Ryan stayed on his feet to block three guys on Jacobs' 34-yard run. If you could ever put it all together. I think he's in the process of doing so. I mean, I understand, like, we're having the rotations and we're getting guys in and out, and certainly no one's playing perfect football, especially not in week two. But I think Sean Ryan's playing well. I think he played well yesterday. Now, Jordan Morgan is a first-round pick, and I understand there's guys getting dinged up and whatever, but, you know, I think that breeds better play. The idea that, yes, I am being rotated and I have to continue to improve and learn from mistakes. And I think Sean has in a pretty significant way, even from week one to week two, but certainly from, you know, his rookie year to now. That's a kid who's gotten better. And that's what you want. She said, Joey, what's up? And some people still won't give LaFleur the credit. Oh, yeah. Joey, we called them haters. And there are quite a few on this Al Gore internet, but, you know, we don't need to pay attention to them. I don't give those people time. You know, life's too short to worry about people who just want to hate all the time for no damn good reason. And there are plenty of them out there. I get them in my mentions on Twitter. I got a Facebook message today from someone who is very upset that Malik Willis didn't throw the ball more for reasons, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, people, they're going to be haters out there. You just don't deal with them. They don't know what they're talking about. JP, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Malik revenge game, then Love spanks the Vikings. I really hope that's the case, but I do think there's a decent chance that we don't see Love until the Rams game. But who knows? We'll see. I love that idea, though. John, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. So we can be very run heavy and win. Noted. Go Pack, go. I'm about this life. Talk about always and forever needing the run the fucking ball shirt at the Cheesehead TV store. Get yours now. On Culture, what's up, man? I love that the Packers are the first team to 800 victories when at one time the Bears had a big lead on them. Yeah, hate to see it. Not only were the Bears the first team to 700, but yes, they were in the all-time series with the Packers. They were up by like 40 games. Back at the end of the kind of 80s and before the 90s resurgence from Green Bay. And now the Packers are so far ahead, obviously have now beaten them 10 times in a row, but yeah, Packers hitting 800 victories. The Bears are sitting at, I believe it's 794. So they're six behind in the all-time victories column. Man, what can I say? Packers are just better. And the Packers, you know, didn't even start in the NFL until a year after the Bears did. So bring it, baby. Jeezy baby, what's going on? When I am throwing up, it quite possibly the worst day of my life. Josh Myers throws up mid-snap, then blocks a 300-pound beast. These guys are nuts. I mean, it's a different, you know, they always say they're built different. I mean, they are literally built different. There is a very different component to their both mental and physical makeups. Of that, there is a little doubt. We call that being a dog. G. David, what's up? A lot of players played very well yesterday. Also, wowza on the offensive play calling and design. Matt LaFleur is something else sometimes. Absolutely. I mean, maybe, hopefully, we were, you know, just discussing this, but maybe, hopefully, Matt starts to get a few more flowers nationally as far as being able to adjust and be malleable, giving what's presented and working with it and still coming out victorious. I mean, he's gone through a lot in his tenure in Green Bay, from landing the gig in the first place and having Aaron Rodgers to having to adjust to the youngest roster in the NFL with a first-time starter who obviously had tools but was very raw and young, etc. The run they went on last year, and now losing that guy at the very end of the very first game of the year, having to adjust. I mean, the guy's a hell of a coach. And I understand he's not perfect. No one is. But man, you just got to look around the league and look around some of the terrible coaching jobs that you see week in and week out to know how well you have it as a Packers fan. And thank your lucky stars that you're a Packers fan. Matt LaFleur is a damn good coach. One of the better ones in football. Of that, there is no doubt. Eric, thanks for the super chat. What kind of progression does Willis need to show for Matt LaFleur to open up more medium deep shot plays, or does it matter more based on Love's return? I don't think Love's return has anything to do with it. As far as what kind of progression he needs to see, they just need to be more comfortable with each other. And I also think as long as they're staying ahead of the sticks, it doesn't matter. Now, look, I understand the second half was frustrating given how they got into second and long, third and long way too much, and you still didn't really see Matt trust him to throw it down the field. But I think that's partially a product of the game, the context of what they were doing as far as, okay, we're really controlling things, not only with our running game, but we're able to limit what they're able to do on offense. Matt just trusted his defense, and I got no problem with that. You know, I do think another week in the building, we'll probably see a little bit more, but I don't think it's going to be dramatic. I do think they will push the ball a little bit more downfield. I think they're going to have a few more surprises, maybe, you know, some screen game stuff like we saw in week one last year with the throwback to Aaron Jones. Not that play in particular, but something akin to that. You know, they'll keep defensive coordinators on their toes. I don't think you just throw it for throwing's sake. I don't think you just say, oh, we have to be able to push the ball downfield. Nothing says, you know, that you have to do that. You want to throw to score. Points come out of the passing game. Of that, there's zero doubt. But you also want to run and control the football and win the game, which is what they did yesterday. And I think as long as they continue to be effective and efficient in the ground game, there's probably not going to be much more they asked Malik Willis to do. A little bit, but I don't think it's going to be dramatic. Cheeto, what's up, man? Some, not all, refs spent more time doing bicep curls at the gym than learning to call a game. That's such a fun observation, Cheeto. You're always good for one of those. It is hilarious to watch how the development of the officiating in the NFL has transpired since, you know, they really lawyered up the playbook, and all of the head officials who had been around for a long time but saw where things were headed, especially the absolute absurdity of the roughing the passer rules. So they all retire, right? All the top guys, and they all go get jobs in TV, most of them anyway, right? So now you've got guys who, and the other thing was that they phased out lots of older officials because they wanted guys who look better on TV. Well, now we got, to your point, guys who clearly hit the gym but don't know fuck all about how to control an NFL football game. I mean, if I see one more over-officious jerk throw a flag for something that is completely immaterial to the play on the field, I'm going to lose my fucking mind. We do not tune in. We do not attend these games. We don't spend hundreds of dollars to be at an NFL stadium to watch our favorite team and an opponent go at it in a game of football. We don't do all that for you. I understand you're an important part of the process as far as making sure the game is fair, right? But you are not the fucking star of this show. These guys totally think they are, and it drives me fucking insane. That's enough of that. Patrick, what's up, man? Shout out to the guys from Pardon My Take. They spent 5 minutes today talking about how Arnie Herber was a weapon. Arnie Herber was a weapon. Yes, I saw the clip of Big Cat and PFT. Because Braylon Allen scored the TD for the Jets, and he literally, and this is kind of fucking amazing, is the youngest player, or ties Arnie Herber for being the youngest player to score a touchdown in the NFL, as far as like how old they were when they did it, to the day. What? Yes, to the day. That's insane. That's insane. That's some true, like, you know, whatever. Aliens are among us shit. I mean, we are all, time is a flat circle. Every 100 years, some dude is going to score on this day. Look it up. Justin, what's up, man? Okay, you've written Marshall Lloyd. The young man's name is Marshawn Lloyd. Equals James Starks playoff run. Justin, I said that when he got hurt in camp. I see the vision, man. You know, he's going to flounder a little bit here early in the season. Got dinged up again yesterday, but no worries. Put him on the shelf. Take him off that shelf. Say late November, early December. Have him ball out. Help us get to a Super Bowl. I am all about that life. Let's go. Adam, thanks for the super chat. Do you suspect we see more involvement from Musgrave when Love is back under center? A little bit, but not a ton. I do think Musgrave is obviously their burner at the position. He's a guy they have plays drawn up for as far as, you know, getting down the seam or some of the shallow cross stuff and getting him out in space because you want to utilize his speed. But Tucker Kraft is playing extremely well, and I don't think it's going to be a case of, well, Jordan Love is back and we're going to throw the ball more, so Musgrave's going to be on the field, you know, exponentially more than he has been. I think Tucker Kraft's taken a pretty strong hold of that position through two games and shown why he is playing more, especially this game. I mean, he was fucking outstanding yesterday. He is really becoming quite a good player, and that's no knock on Musgrave, but Musgrave's a little bit too inconsistent on some of the things they're asking that position to do across the board, rather than just, yo, go get downfield, be fast, and, you know, be fast with the ball in your hand. There's way more to it than that. And right now, Tucker is doing all of that exponentially better than Musgrave is. Unculture, what's up? Yeah, I meant Coach Matt. To quote a great fan, not going to lie, I'm a little buzzed up. Shout out Matt Ramage, no doubt. Joey, what's up? They should run the Packers sweep with Jacobs. Now you're talking. We get a seal here and a seal here. And we run this play in the alley. That's these boys right here, right here. These guys, that's what they did. Abdul, what's up? Hey, Aaron, who impressed and disappointed yesterday? Tucker Kraft impressed. Disappointed. Disappointed. I don't know, man. I didn't really have too many disappointments. The only disappointment I had is Josh Jacobs fumbling right when he's about to cross the end zone line. That would be my disappointment. But it came within a performance that he balled out in and essentially put the team on his back during, so it's hard for me to get too disappointed. But man, he just scores there, and that whole game is not over, but the whole complexion changes and the Packers are really set to dominate. So yeah, that was the major disappointment on the day. Any word on the Jordan Morgan injury? Nothing yet. Matt purposely, to his to keep him at his word there, purposely didn't talk to the training staff before speaking with the media today. So maybe we get some reporting from Domofsky and company over the course of the next day or two, but otherwise we probably won't know much until Wednesday. On Culture, what's up? Victory Monday jams, Wake Up the Sleeping Giant by Twisted Sister, Beyond the Sea by Bobby Darin, and In the Mood by Glenn Miller. See, I was going to go In the Mood by Robert Plant, but I love Glenn Miller as well. And Beyond the Sea, that was one of my all-time karaoke songs. Absolutely love that track. Joey, thanks again. Man, after seeing how bad the Panthers have started this year and benching Bryce today, really is saying something about how bad Joe Barry was that game. Yeah, he did make him look like a superstar. But as Chris pointed out on Twitter, you know, that was the game where they kind of tried to switch their MO and or approach because they had been beaten so badly by perfect passer rating Baker Mayfield and Lambeau, where they were very much, you know, playing a lot of soft zone. And so they switched it up down to Carolina and blitzed a little more and played a lot more man than they had been. And they still gave up 300 plus yards and two touchdowns to Bryce and Young. That said, you know, Jair and Stokes had bad days that day, and it still was better than what had been on offer. But yeah, Joe Barry can't hurt us anymore. John, thank you, sir. I watched defenses like the Bears and Texans last night and get jealous. Is it players, coaching? Why doesn't Green Bay defense play that fast and physical? Well, I think some of it is approach. Some of it is play style, but you know, there's also players. I think Brian and company in Green Bay certainly seem to, and I talked about this coming off last week, they, you know, really like their athletes, right? And there is a bit of a coaching element to it, but you know, at some point, you just got to get guys who are physical as hell and dogs and love to tackle and love the contact aspect of the sport, right? And I think there's shades of that in Green Bay, but that's not their MO. Certainly not in their kind of DNA, as it were. With the Bears, man, I was watching that Bears game last night. I was, to your point, I was maybe not jealous, but God, man, those guys can hit and they tackle and they rally and there's 11 hats to the ball on each and every play. That is a fun defense to watch if you are into just defensive football. Now, with the Texans, it's a little different, man, because, look, they smelled blood in the water last night. The Bears couldn't pick up a blitz to save their fucking life. They had no answers for their young quarterback. They were so ineffective in the running game that they had to throw it, and then the Texans knew they had to throw it, and they just sent the dogs after the kid, and the Bears had no answers in protection and or outlet throws. I mean, so many deep developing routes. It was like Mike McCarthy was calling plays for the Bears last night. So, I mean, the Texans, yeah, they have a fine defense. But for me, the Bears on the road in that environment, they played extremely well against a really good offense. Yeah, they're going to be a problem. They're going to be a problem on defense. Simatovich, what's up? Daniels Hunter sack on Williams. Lord have mercy. Yeah, as Mina Kimes pointed out, that was flying squirrel territory. That was, I'm glad Daniel Hunter's out of the division. Let's put it that way. Uncultured, what's up? Tucker Kraft with some big boy blocks. No question about it. He absolutely owned people, especially on the edge. Just throwing dudes out the club. Love to see us. Dan, thanks for the super chat. Tell us how you really feel about the ref snags. Yeah, now I'm probably going to get chastised in the comments again, like I did, I believe, on Friday during I got upset about something, and then someone in the chat or the comments on the YouTube channel was like, don't get your blood pressure up, boy. We just need you to calm down. Like, it's football, man. If you don't get pumped or excited or disgusted or, like, emotional about something, what the fuck are you even doing here? Like, do you want to watch and enjoy and participate in the great experiment that is NFL football as a dispassionate observer? Man, more power to you, but that is not how I roll. That is not my gig. So, man, every once in a while, yeah, do I fly off the handle? You bet. You know why? Because I'm emotionally invested. Aaron, it's something that's entertainment and has no, you know, real immediate effect on your life as far as how you live and enjoy breathing air and having a family and loving life. And I understand that is the way most people on this planet operate. I do not. I'm a different cat. The Packers are like family to me, like to the point where every time I look at the Green Bay Packers and by extension, the NFL, I see my family. And I understand it's weird, man. I'm not saying it's normal, but that is me. And through 51 years of life, which is where I'm at now, you know, that great line in True Detective. After spending all this time basically coming to grips with myself, I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, I don't understand how I'm going to forego who I am on your account. That's just it. It's just how I roll. It's what you get. Braden, what's up? Jai is 1-0 as captain. Your move, Matt. That's well done. Well played. Well played, sir. I mean, I'm sure Jair will be pointing that out incessantly in the upcoming weeks. No doubt. Oh, what were your thoughts on the Wrexham versus Birmingham City game? Callum, didn't see it. Not seeing it. Wish I had the time, but man, there are only 24 hours in a day, and that ain't enough. Michael, so we all know now that Myers puked on the ball yesterday. Now, we all knew literally right after it happened. It was broadcast to the world. Was it released that he has a virus, or was it just the heat yesterday? No, it was the heat. Elton Jenkins puked too. Like, it was hot, and they're 300-pound men with tons of gear on running around in 85-degree heat. Yeah, they were hot. No doubt about it. I was hoping yesterday we would see number 9 on a cross or a semi-long ball to keep the D guessing. Will we at Tennessee nags? Kerry, it's possible, like we were talking about a little bit ago. Like, you got to think they'll be a little bit more, I don't want to say that they're going to open up the playbook and it's going to be crazy, right? It's not going to be that. But I do think they'll be a little more willing to take a chance here or there down the field in a way they probably didn't feel comfortable doing against the Colts. Now, that said, I don't think it's, you know, we got to take a shot to Watson deep, though I'd love to see it. But I like the idea of getting the ball in his hand as a change of pace, just because the speed is so problematic for defenses. You think you got an angle, and then all of a sudden he obliterates it, right? We saw that in Chicago a couple years ago. I just think he has the potential to really kind of keep people off kilter, as it were, with the ball in his hands. I like it. I like it. What else we got? Anyone else see the black boxes on the lower layer of the lower third? Yeah, that happens from time to time with this new kind of setup. I'm working to get that resolved, and I apologize for what I'm sure is a very harsh moment in your life, the little black boxes. I kid. Will the NFL investigate the Packers for putting a foreign substance on the ball? Vomitgate. I think we're safe. I think we're all right. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.